Just wanted to real quickly mention what's kicking off next week. Next week we're going to be starting a new series called Fear Factor. And Fear Factor is going to be a 5-week series. You can kind of see an outline there on the screen. We're going to be covering a number of different issues. And what I'm really excited about with this series is each week we're going to be basically doing a case study of a different disciple and a fear that they had. So these are real people, real fears that hopefully you can relate to. The first week, next week, we're going to be talking about the fear of loss. And have you ever had a situation where everything is going so well? You feel like, wow, I'm so blessed. I have a wonderful family. I have a job. And all you can think about is, but I can't, I'm afraid to look around the corner because I know something bad is about to happen. And you're not even able to stop and smell the roses and enjoy the blessings that God has given you. And next week we're going to be talking about that, the fear of loss. And then on the 9th we'll be talking about the fear of uncertainty. That weekend we'll also be doing baby dedication. So if you have a baby and you'd like to have it dedicated, you can sign up in the communicator for that. And as a church, you might be from different church background. We don't dedicate babies, or we don't baptize babies, but we dedicate them to the Lord and really just challenge the church and the family to raise them up in the way that they should go, as Scripture says, and believe that they will not depart from it. So on October 9th, we'll be doing that as we cover the topic of the fear of uncertainty. On the 16th, we're going to be covering the fear of insignificance. If you've ever felt insignificant in the world, that weekend will be our Black and Gold Sunday. So how many of you guys have a Steelers jersey? Some of you have Steelers jerseys. So many of you, I see your nice, beautiful I Heart My Church t-shirt. You look wonderful this morning. Well, that weekend, that Sunday, we're going to encourage you, wear your Steelers jersey, not just because we're just going to do it, but we're going to actually have former Steeler fullback Steve Avery with us. That morning he's going to be sharing his story and what God has done in his life. Steve was the starting fullback for the Steelers in 1995 when the Steelers went to the Super Bowl against the Cowboys. So we're going to be really blessed to have him here. After the service that morning, we'll have black and gold smiley face cookies out in the foyer. It'll be a wonderful time. So this will be a great opportunity to invite a friend or neighbor. And then the 23rd, we'll be talking about the fear of failure. We'll be having water baptisms. So if you've never been baptized by immersion as an adult, this will be a great opportunity for that. And last week, we'll be talking about the fear of loneliness. So it's going to be a wonderful series. The fear factor will be kicking off next week. If you have a neighbor or a friend or a family member that you've been praying about inviting to church, this will be a great month to do that. We'll have a lot of opportunities to invite people. So I encourage you to do that. But with that said, this morning we're concluding our series called I Heart My Church. As you can see, our t-shirt. I don't just wear this t-shirt every week. I do heart my church or love my church. But just wearing it today as we conclude this series, we've been talking about what is at the heart of Calvary. And this morning we're talking about forgiveness, a heart of forgiveness. And we've covered having a heart of community and a heart of service, and last week a heart of worship. But this week, talking about a heart of forgiveness, I believe that this is actually one of the most important things that any of us as individuals could ever grasp. And as a church, this is one of the most important things for having a healthy church, is that we have a heart of forgiveness, that we are willing to forgive. And as I was thinking about this idea of forgiveness, you have to forgive me because my mind sometimes goes in 10 different directions. But as I was thinking about forgiveness, I was thinking about, I don't know why this came to my mind, but snakes. I know some of you are scared to death by snakes, but hold on a second. Don't gasp too loudly. I got a really ugly one, not a real one. Don't worry. We got this big little snake here. I apologize, it's kind of ugly. But I was thinking about snakes. And forgiveness and snakes, I know, have nothing to do with each other. But here's the situation. I was looking into this, and some of you may know this information, but there are different types of snakes around the world. Some that are deadly, some that are not. Fortunately, in Western PA, we don't have too many deadly snakes. But one of the more deadly snakes in South America is a type of snake, family of snakes known as boa constrictors. Have any of you guys ever heard of a boa constrictor? And one of the largest types of boa constrictors is the anaconda. And a number of years ago, an anaconda was actually caught in South America. It was the largest snake ever caught in the wild. It was 28 feet long. So this is 4 feet, so 7 more of these. 28 feet long, 44 inches around. That's bigger than some of our waists. 44 inches around, and estimated 500 pounds. That's huge. Those types of snakes are frightening, but the good news is they're not very fast. But somehow they're still very deadly. Because what they do is they sneak up on their prey and slowly circle around their prey and just start to tighten. And what they do, they're called boa constrictors. They constrict the blood flow. They constrict the flow of blood to that part of the body or whatever it may be. So if, God forbid, we were standing here and a boa constrictor wrapped itself or an anaconda wrapped itself around your foot, it would slowly start to tighten, and it, within time, a period of time, you would no longer have circulation to your foot, and you would have no longer the ability to move your foot or to use your foot. Okay? And it's such an interesting thing because they're so deadly and yet so slow. They won't bite you, but they could kill you. And it's interesting, and you might think, what does that have to do with forgiveness? It doesn't sound like it has anything to do with forgiveness. Well, the reality is, although none of us will ever meet a boa constrictor face-to-face, thank goodness, or an anaconda, there's something that each and every one of us are affected by that has the same effect, not on our bodies or our lives, but on our hearts. And this one thing does something very similar to a boa constrictor. It wraps itself around your heart and just slowly tightens. And as it wraps around your heart, it eventually constricts the flow of God's love, constricts the flow of love to other people. And within time, you no longer have the function of your heart as you did before. And that one thing that has the ability to do this, to constrict the flow of God's love through your life, is bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness is such a deadly thing to your spiritual well-being, to your emotional well-being. And bitterness, what it does is you're offended by someone or someone does something to you. And bitterness wraps itself around your heart. And at first, it doesn't really affect much. All it does is affect maybe your interaction with that person that offended you, that did something against you. And at first, it's just you maybe don't have as good of a relationship with that person. And maybe the God's love doesn't flow as clearly with that person. But here's the sad thing, is that bitterness, just like an anaconda, doesn't stop with that. If left on its own, bitterness slowly starts to tighten. And in time, it's not just that person that's affected, your interaction with that person, but now all of a sudden it's your interaction with other people. Because bitterness is like a poison. It starts to work its way through your life, through your heart, and it will impact everything. And if left alone, in time, bitterness will rob you of the ability to show God's love, to receive love. You'll be so hardened towards people. Bitterness will destroy you from the inside out. Bitterness is, one illustration is, it's like a root. Maybe a seed of bitterness is planted in your heart because someone offends you, someone does something to you. And that seed just is planted, and you allow it to stay. As you allow it to stay, it starts to put down roots. And it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And over decades and decades of allowing that bitterness to dwell in your heart, to find residence in your heart, before long, you won't even realize what the original seed was about. But your life will be forever changed. Your outlook on people, how you interact with people, will be forever changed. Because you've allowed bitterness to take root in your heart and to destroy your heart. And this is such a difficult thing in our hearts. And each and every one of us can be affected by bitterness. Maybe for you, it's a family situation that someone said something to you years ago and you've never forgiven them. And you feel like you can't forgive them. Because if you forgive them, it justifies what they have done. Or it may be a coworker, or maybe a friend that you were very close with, and they did something that offended you, that made you not talk to them anymore. And you've harbored that bitterness for a long period of time. You weren't willing to forgive them. And the truth is, there was only one antidote for bitterness. There's only one cure for bitterness, and it's forgiveness. Forgiveness is the only cure for bitterness. And no matter how deep it goes, no matter how difficult it might be, it's the only cure. And trust me, I know that some of you have situations that you hold on to and pain that you endure every day because of what someone else has done against you. And I can't say that I understand it, But I know that God understands it. And I understand this, that God has asked us to forgive. And this morning, what we want to look at is a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus tells us this parable. And a parable is basically a story that Jesus tells to illustrate a principle, to illustrate something. It was a way of sharing a deep theological idea in very simple terms to his audience. And in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is sharing a parable. Matthew chapter 18, we'll be starting in verse 23. Before we get to that, though, my main point this morning, what I want to share with you when you walk out the doors, if you can get anything, is this. That what I hold on to holds on to me. What I hold on to holds on to me. Can you say that with me this morning? What I hold on to holds on to me. We say it a little bit stronger. You guys can do better than that. I know you're all awake. I hope so. Ready? Everyone together. What I hold on to holds on to me. And what ultimately, what you hold on to, what bitterness you clench onto and you will not let go, eventually, over time, will hold on to you and will have its grips around your heart and won't let go. And that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 18 as he shares this story, this parable. We'll be starting in verse 23. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. It says, you can follow along, we'll have it on the screen as well. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Now, just to pause for a second, 10,000 talents in today's dollars was an estimated amount of about $2.2 billion. Okay? So this was a lot of money. This wasn't just a few bucks that he owed the king, but this was a large sum of money. Especially in his day, that was a lot of money. So it says he owed him 10,000 talents and was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, understandably, the master offered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. So the king has basically offered an option, a solution. Since he couldn't repay the debt, he said, all right, then we're going to sell you and your family off as slaves and sell everything that you have to at least come close to repaying this debt. And understandably, the man was distraught. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled his debt, and let him go. That is one forgiving king. He canceled a $2.2 billion debt. Isn't that remarkable? Could you imagine? I know maybe you relate with this, but you may have like car loans or school loans or a home loan. Could you imagine someone's walking in and forgiving that debt? But $2.2 billion. He just forgives it. King forgave it. And it goes on. The next verse. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. 100 denarii in today's dollars is about $2,000. So it's not even close to the same amount as $2.2 billion. So someone owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. Doesn't that sound familiar? This is the same thing that the man said to the king for his large debt. Now this other servant has a small debt with him and he begs him, please, please forgive this debt. Let me go and I'll repay it. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. When the master called the servant in, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? You wicked servant. And what Jesus is illustrating here is, first of all, that each of us has this capacity to forgive. If you go back into the book of Genesis, it says that we were all, as humans, created in the image of God. We were all created in the image of God. And God is one of the most forgiving beings in the universe. Think about it. All that we have done, all in our lives that has made us guilty of sin, of disobedience toward God, everything, the scope of our lives, God has forgiven us. He has pushed it aside. He said, but I love you enough, I'm willing to forgive it all. Even the worst of the worst, God said, I'm willing to forgive. You look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was hunting down Christians and murdering them. An evil, evil man. And God loved him so much that he was willing to forgive and to restore and redeem his life. And God does the same for each and every one of us. Because God is one of the most forgiving beings in the universe. But because we're created in the image of God, we also have the capacity to forgive. We have that ability within us. The problem is that many of us have that capacity, but few of us are compelled to actually do it. Because it feels too good to hold on to the pain, the bitterness. We feel that if we let go, we are justifying what was done against us. And ultimately, what's true is that what I hold on to is going to hold on to me. And the bitterness that you hold on to, while you think you're holding on to it, in time, over weeks and months and years, eventually, it's going to be flipped. You're no longer going to be holding on to it. It's going to be holding on to you. It's going to have you right in its grip. And it's going to destroy your life. It will destroy your life. I can't express it enough. It will destroy your life. It will impact you physically, emotionally, spiritually, because bitterness wraps itself around your heart and slowly constricts. And eventually, that flow of love will no longer come from your heart. And it will destroy your heart. And there are three things I want to share with you just real briefly this morning that illustrate basically how we respond, what Scripture teaches, how we should respond to this issue of bitterness. How we respond. The first item is that we need to let go. That we need to let go of the hurt. Now, this sounds very insensitive. I don't want to sound insensitive. I understand there are people in this place that have great pain that goes deep. And just the idea of just let go then, sounds very insensitive. And I'm not trying to be insensitive. I understand the pain that you are experiencing. But ultimately, holding on to it is not going to do any harm to that person, but only to you. Letting go is not justifying the hurt or what that person did to you. It's saying, I believe more in my future than my past. Although it hurt me in the past, I'm not going to let it hurt me in the future. And I believe enough, and I believe that God is willing to work through my life enough that I can forgive and let go. Let go of the hurt. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're naive and you let go of the hurt and you walk right back into the same situation. Trust is still earned. You don't just trust a person or a situation again as you did before. But you release the consequences. You release the pain, the bitterness that you hold on to. Because over time, that bitterness, as I mentioned, will destroy you. Before I got married, the last 3 years, I lived in a townhouse with two other guys. And we had a lot of fun, and the other two guys actually were pastors as well. And I remember one of the things I loved to do is get a glass of milk. I don't know if any of you, we have any other milk lovers in the room, but I enjoy milk, especially with a big jar of peanut butter and a spoon. Is anyone there? You get a big jar of Jif peanut butter, a spoon, and a big glass of milk, and SportsCenter on the television, and I am in heaven, okay? I'm very easy to please, I guess. But I love milk. And one particular day, I was at our house, our townhouse, and I went into the fridge to get our milk. And what we did with groceries is we'd each kind of take turns buying groceries, and we'd share our groceries and all that stuff. And I go in, I get the milk, and I open the bottle, the milk jug, and you probably know what's going to happen. There was a stench. It smelled so bad. I was like, what happened? And I poured it out, and it didn't pour out the same way it usually would. You know, nice flowing milk, white milk. It had some like little lumps and things like that in it. It was disgusting. So I naturally poured it down the sink, and then was left with the problem of now the sink smelled. So I was just spraying Febreze down the sink, trying to eliminate the odor that had come. And I was amazed. Something that is so good, milk. I love milk. It's healthy for me. Over time, if left unkept, becomes this disgusting, gross thing. This lumpy mess. And bitterness in the moment, bitterness feels so good. Someone hurts you. Someone said something against you. Someone does something and it feels so good. It feels like I'm justified in feeling this way because of what they did to me. And it feels so good. But the truth is, over time, that bitterness starts to grow and to develop and to poison your heart. And over time, your heart is going to have this disgusting aroma that everything you do and say is going to be impacted by the bitterness that's in your heart. And if you're not willing to let go, if you're not willing to say, God, I want to let go of this bitterness. I want to allow that root that has gotten deep into my heart. I want to let go of it. I'm going to release that person of any responsibility of what they did to me because I'm moving on. Because I believe that you have a greater future for me. Then I'm not going to be stuck in my past and the pain that I endured. Because here's the reality. That over time, if you allow bitterness to harbor in your heart, you're going to experience more pain in the end than you did at first. You're only doing more damage to your heart, to your life. You're not doing any damage to that other person by holding that bitterness. And God asks that we will let go of the hurt, that we will let go of it, release it. And the second thing that we see is that we can let God heal the pain. It's not just about letting go, but it's placing our heart into the hands of a loving, caring God. A God that sees the pain that you've experienced. A God that understands the frustration, understands the emotion that has gone into this situation, to this offense. And He believes in you enough that He doesn't want you to stay there. He wants to heal your heart. I don't know if any of you have ever broken a bone or pulled a muscle or sprained an ankle. I've sprained my ankle so many times in soccer and basketball. And what they teach you is the more times you sprain your ankle, the weaker it becomes, the more difficult it is for it to heal the next time. And in our hearts sometimes, we try to allow our hearts to heal from bitterness. And just as it is in the same way as it is in our body, we try to let it heal, but it never quite fully heals the same way again. And we try, but only with God's grace, only through His power, through His forgiveness, can we fully be healed, where our heart is restored, where our heart is whole, and we can love again, and we can care again. And that happens as we allow God to heal the hurt. We allow God to heal the pain. We place our hearts in His hands. And it's so important that we allow God to heal our heart. In the book of Psalms, chapter 55, verse 22, it says, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall." As we allow God to heal the wounds in our hearts, He doesn't eliminate the capacity of love, but rather He allows that place in our heart to be available to love again. That we allow God to work in our situation. Inviting God into our pain, inviting God into our situation is difficult. You see, there's comfort in the loneliness of pain, isn't there? There's comfort in the bitterness, in harboring that, and holding on to that. As difficult as it might be to understand, there's comfort in that. And when we say, God, I want you to heal the pain, what we're doing is we're releasing the pain. We're letting go of it. And we're surrendering it to God and saying, God, I want to cast my cares on You, my pain. I want to cast it on You. I want to put it in Your hands and allow You to heal it. Allow you to do what only You can do as God. And that's difficult. It's not just letting go, but it's letting go and letting God take care of it. Because you can just let go of pain and nothing happens. You just let go of it and you move on. But when you're allowing God to heal the pain, now it's not just about the past, but it's about the future, because now God is strengthening you for the future. So that not only did you forgive there, but you can forgive again. And you can love again. And you can care again for other people. So we need to let go of the hurt, let God heal the pain. And the last thing is we need to let grace flow. We need to let grace flow. The last two really just deal with you and God. It's between you and God. You know, letting go of that pain and letting God heal the pain, that's just between you and God. But this is a little more difficult now, because this involves another person. Letting grace flow. Allowing grace to flow towards that person that wronged you, that person that offended you. Allowing grace to flow out of your words and your actions towards that person. As I mentioned, it's not necessarily restoring the same level of trust, but it's extending grace. The same forgiveness and grace that was extended to you, that God extended to you. Just as in the story that Jesus told, the king forgave the servant this large debt, but the servant wasn't willing to forgive another of a smaller debt. And God has forgiven such a large debt in your life. And what he's asking is that in your interaction with another person, with whoever it may be or whatever situation that has offended you and caused this bitterness to harbor in your heart, he's asked that you are willing to do the same and let go. Forgive and allow his grace to flow into that situation. And in the verses previous to this parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 18, he actually outlined a few steps that we can take to allow this grace to flow, to interact with this person. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. If you're there still, you can follow along with me. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. It says, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector." These are two very difficult things that Jesus is talking about. Forgiveness and confrontation. Very uncomfortable for most people. But he makes it very clear. And to kind of simplify it a little bit, we're in Pittsburgh, and hopefully all of you like sports, or most of you like sports. I love sports, but I like sports analogies, so we're going to use a sports analogy here. The first step that Jesus outlined here in Matthew 18 is going one-on-one with a person. One-on-one, all right? Going to that person and addressing the issue. The first verse there in 15, it says, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over." This is going to the person that has offended you personally and privately addressing your concern. Now understand, this is not, this is done with the overarching theme of love. This isn't a meeting where you accuse that person. It's not a mud-throwing opportunity where you're trying to pull them down. The goal is restoration. The goal is always restoration, okay? It's not, am I right? Are you right? Can I pull this person down? Can I accuse you? I'm going to yell at you. Remember, it's always done with the overarching theme of love. Of love. And that's the goal here, of going one-on-one that Jesus talks about. And if the offense at that moment is not able to be resolved with that one-on-one, you move to the next step, including a referee or a mediator. In the next verse it says, "But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." This is an objective person that helps communicate and establish agreement between the two of you. This isn't find your best friend, bring them into the circle, and so they can side with you, and then you know you'll come out and talk. This is a referee, a mediator, an objective person. You bring them into the situation. Okay? Now, some of you may have heard this before. I'm not trying to bore you with a lot of steps and details. But this is so, so important. Because as I mentioned, forgiveness is a skill, it's an ability that if you're going to be healthy as a Christian, as a person, forgiveness must be present in your life. It has to be a part of your life. Whether you consider yourself a follower of Christ or not, maybe you've come here this morning and Jesus couldn't be the furthest thing from your mind or your heart. Regardless of whether you consider yourself a follower of Christ or not, forgiveness must be a part of your life if you're going to be healthy. Because bitterness will destroy your heart. It will destroy your life. And these steps, I understand, are kind of intricate, but just listen, follow along with me. We want to go one-on-one. You want to address an issue with a person. If it doesn't get resolved, then you go with a referee, with a mediator. The next one, he talks about, you want to involve the coaches. or church leadership. It says in the next verse, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. This would be a collection of church leadership that is able to basically listen to the concern and try to provide some direction, as a coach would. You involve the coaches. And the last step that Jesus outlines here, he says if that doesn't work, Jesus teaches to move on and to love them. He says, if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now, when you hear that, many people would think, okay, now I should shun them because I'm going to treat them like a pagan and a tax collector. But if you think about it, who did Jesus show the greatest love to? It was to the pagans and the tax collectors. What Jesus is saying here is, if that person isn't willing to, if you're not able to resolve it after that last step of involving the coaches or church leadership, now you treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector, and you love them and you move on. You love them and you move on. Can you say that with me? Love them and move on. You love them and you move on. And that's what God wants for you. He wants your heart to be healthy. He doesn't want your heart to be tied up and bound by this issue of bitterness so that you're not free. He wants you to walk in freedom with your heart so that you can love and care for people. And the truth, as I mentioned, is what I hold on to holds on to me. And this morning, the question is, what are you holding on to? Or better, what is holding on to you? What are you holding on to this morning? What might it be? And understand, I'm not asking you to let go and to justify whatever was done against you. Maybe it is a family situation. Maybe for you it is something as a relationship that has just been so broken that you feel that you cannot forgive this person. And God is saying, I have forgiven you of so much. You're destroying your life by not being willing to forgive another. You're destroying your life and your future. And God sees the potential of what you could be. Your heart is so bound by this bitterness. Bitterness has just wrapped its ugly head around your heart and is just pulling tighter and tighter and tighter. And before you know it, you're not going to be able to love anymore. And God is saying, before it's too late, would you be willing to forgive, to let go, to let God heal the pain, to let God's grace flow through your words and your actions, to restore relationships? I don't know what your situation is. I don't know the pain that maybe you're experiencing this morning. But I know that there's a God that wants to heal the pain, to restore your heart to its original state, so that you're free to love again, so that your heart is free to do what it was created to do, to show God's love to other people. And this morning, whatever pain you've walked into this place with, I want to give you the opportunity to say, God, I release it. Lord, I ask for forgiveness. Lord, I let this person off the hook. I'm releasing the bitterness in my heart right now. It's not justifying what they had done, their actions or their words in any way, but it's saying, I believe more in my future than in my past. And I know that you have something great in store for my future, and I no longer want to be bound by this weight of bitterness. I no longer want the stench of bitterness to be in my life. And this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to release that, to say, God, I'm letting go. Before we do that this morning, though, you may have walked into this place and you've never experienced that forgiveness that I spoke about from God. You're that servant with the large debt and you're standing before God and God is saying you have such a large debt. Your past. Scripture says that sin is our disobedience, the mistakes that we've made in our lives. We've all made them, myself included. And through those mistakes, through that sin, we have disconnected ourselves from a holy, perfect, almighty God. We've distanced ourselves from that God that loves us. But he can't be in interaction with us because of our sin. And God is saying, if you're willing to accept it, I want to forgive your debt. I want to forgive it all, to release it, to let it go. And this morning, if you've never experienced that forgiveness, if you've never made that decision to say, God, I accept your forgiveness, I want to give you the opportunity today. Oftentimes we bow our heads and close our eyes, but this morning with our heads up and our eyes open, as a statement before God, because I believe that deep inside we need to have this heart of forgiveness. And it starts with the relationship between us and God. With everyone here, if you've never made that decision, I'm going to ask you just to slip your hand up. We're going to pray as a church together. We're not going to ask you to come forward. We're not going to embarrass you. We're just going to pray as a church and ask for God to extend His forgiveness to you. If there's anyone in this place this morning, anyone else? Anyone else? Let's pray this morning as a church, saying, God, we want to experience forgiveness today. Lord, I thank You so much for this morning. Lord, I thank You for those that have raised their hands, Lord, as they have made this statement. They've made this statement between You, Lord, just between You and them, that they want to experience Your forgiveness, Your wholeness, Lord. Lord, that You will erase the debt of their past. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that You will erase that debt. You will give them Your power, Your presence, and everything that they do, Lord. And God, that they will sense Your love again. Lord, that You will fill their hearts with this capacity to love and to forgive today. Work in everything that they do, Lord, and everything that they say. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For everyone else, maybe you've battled with bitterness. You've battled with difficult circumstances. Can we as a church make this declaration that I'm going to release anyone that's harmed me, anyone that's brought bitterness to my heart, and I'm going to walk in freedom. I'm going to allow my heart to be free to love again. Can we make that declaration as a church? If you can just repeat this prayer after me as a church, we're not trying to do some magic formula, but simply a declaration as a church before God to say, God, I am releasing those in my past that have caused me harm and bitterness today, and I'm walking in freedom. Can you pray that with me today? Just repeat after me. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Dear God, today I release those in my past that have caused me harm, hurt, and bitterness in my heart. And today I choose to walk in freedom, to no longer be bound by my past or the bitterness that harbors in my heart, but to love freely again with Your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. And this week, maybe you have a person in mind that you know there is bitterness in your heart. Maybe it's something you need to evaluate. Ask yourself, God, do I have any bitterness in my heart? Maybe you don't even realize it. But can I ask you that you're willing to walk in that freedom? Maybe you need to forgive that person every day between you and God. If it's a difficult situation, you don't necessarily need to go up to that person and say, hey, I forgave you for what you said to me. That might cause things to be a little bit worse than they were in the first place. All right? But between you and God, forgive them. If you need to go through those steps of the one-on-one, the referee, and the coaches, walk through those steps in love with the goal of restoration. Okay? And I believe that as a church, we can be a church that has a heart of forgiveness. Wouldn't it be incredible to be part of a church where we are willing to forgive, where bitterness doesn't have a place any longer in our hearts, in our lives, in our interactions? But we have a church that is unified because we are willing to love. We are willing to let go of the hurt, allow God to heal the pain in our lives, and allow grace to flow in our interactions with everybody in this place and outside of these walls. Wouldn't that be a great church to be part of? We have the choice to make it that, as we do every day, as we interact every day with people. Let's walk in love and have that heart of forgiveness that is able to love again as we release, as we let go of the bitterness that can grip our hearts. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank You. I thank You so much for Your love, Lord. I thank You for Your forgiveness that each of us can experience, Lord. But also, Lord, the forgiveness that we can release to others. God, I pray You will have Your way in this church. Have Your way in each of our interactions, Lord. For those of us that are harboring bitterness, Lord, I pray for a breakthrough and a release, Lord, today. You would bring freedom into each of our lives and our interactions with people. God, go with us. With Your strength, I pray You'll be upon every person. Lord, I pray for Your love to be upon us, and our words and our actions will be bathed in Your love, Your compassion. Lord, give us strength in everything that we do today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 thank you for worshiping with us this morning. It is a real pleasure to have you here, and we'll see you on next Sunday.